that say, let's lift up Jesus. Come on and shout yes. Come on and shout glory. He died. I said he died. The strength of God died. He went in a borrowed tomb because he only needed it for the weekend, for 3 days and three nights. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Somebody say power, Holy Ghost power, healing power, deliverance power. Say yeah, shout glory, shout yes. Ain't he all right? Say, ain't he all right? Say yeah. Do you know him? Have you tried him? I'm in the fight of my life, but I got an axe. He'll be a battle axe in the time of war. He'll be your sword, sword of the spirit. Come on and say yes. Are you dressed for the...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Reverend Graylin Andrus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're going to pray about the Lord giving him an opportunity to preach to us at a time in the future. And I'm looking forward to hearing from God through this man of God. You know, it's easy to be a witness for the Lord when all is well. You know, it's easy to be able to talk about the goodness of the Lord when all is good in your life. But when you've obviously been through some stuff and been through some storms and you can still shout the joy, after all I've been through, I want to then be able to say I still have joy. Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet, if you will, in honor of the word of the Lord. Turn to Psalm number 56. Psalms number 56. And I want to commence reading at verse 10. And for those of you who have no Bibles, we will walk back through some of the preceding verses to help you understand our word today. Psalms number 56, beginning at verse 10. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, free from fear. Free from fear. To better understand this psalm today, my brothers and sisters, it would do you well if you were to read in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and 27 when you get some time to understand where this psalm is derived from. You will see that it is the hot and continual pursuits of Saul against David that this psalm comes. It's important for us to understand some theological and some practical realities about fear, because so many of us act like we get to the point in the Lord where we're so mature and we're so holy that we don't have to deal with the realities of everyday life in a struggle or in a battle that the enemy has waged against us. What we need to know is that yes, the battle is already won. The victory is already given, but the process has not yet finished. And that means that while I know what the end of the story is going to be, I've still got to turn through each page and get through each chapter before I get to the end. And it is that part in the middle that I must deal with in a realistic way and yet in a very optimistic way, to know and to trust God that God, according to his word, is no shorter than that he has said. When I understand, because as David has gone through in this point in time of his life, some things that only God could have brought him through, it would do us well to understand that there are some things that we shall go through. If we look back in our lives, depending on how long we've been here on planet Earth, we can look at some things that we've already been through that we never thought we would have made it through. But if you keep on living and you're in the midst of your journey, you still got some things you're going to go through that you don't even know how you're going to make it through. But if God has promised that he will see you through, then the end result is he is no shorter than his word if you put your trust in him. Let's back up, if you will, to verse 1 and just read all of this just so that we can understand it well here. Because he says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. I don't care if you're winning, you just get tired of fighting all the time. I don't care if you're on top and you got to hold your enemy down and he's underneath your feet trying to get up. That reaches a point where you just get sick and tired of always fighting. He said, the daily fighting oppresseth me. Verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Now God knows it, but David says, while you're looking from upwards downwards, I'm looking downwards aroundwards, and I see I've got some enemies on every hand here. And if they could, every day they'd swallow me up, they would destroy me, they would annihilate me. Listen to what he goes on to say. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now here's what the correct rendering is, the understanding of this is. At the very moment that fear enters into my heart, I will shift my thoughts from me to you. At what time I experience fear in my heart, I will shift my focus from my problem to your promise. At what time it gets to the point where I think the enemy is going to win, I will shift my focus from what I see to what you said. Now remember, he's praising God in his word for his word, because God has already promised him he was going to be with him. God was not going to forsake him. So he's holding on to what God has said. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. The best time for you to hold on to what God has said is when the enemy tries to show you something different. The best time, listen, because God, what he said, is the important groundwork for which that he shall do. In other words, if he said it, he's got to bring it to pass. The world says, show me and I'll believe. God says, believe and I'll show you. So the world has to show a picture before you can get the understanding of what's going on. But God says, hear my word and I'll show you the picture of what I said. So David is holding on to the promises of God. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters, that if you are where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, you got to know that you're going to have some enemies against you. The enemy, Satan himself, the chief enemy, is the main one who's mad when you are doing what makes God glad. That's why you ought not be discouraged when stuff starts coming up against you, when you're doing what God wants you to do, where you are, and God is pleased with it, because you got to know whenever God starts blessing, the devil does what? He starts messing. But when the devil starts messing, God just starts all the more blessing you greater than he did in the first place. When you put your trust, I'm talking about free from fear here. Listen to what he says. What time I am afraid, in that instant, at that moment, when I am afraid. You mean to tell me David, king, shepherd boy, man after God's own heart, got scared? Yeah, and the question is, do you get scared every now and then? Does fear creep into your heart? Does fear creep into your life? Don't get so holy like you tell me, no, I don't fear nothing. No fear lives here. All that stuff sounds good in theory, but just let the enemy unleash his warfare on you and you stand up in your own power. You're going to have to call on God's power, because fear is a natural enemy that is working against us. And listen at this now. It starts with what we see, and that causes the heart to tremble because of what we see. That's why we've got to cut off what we see and then attain unto what we hear. The word of God, the promise of God, because it is what God said and not what we see that's going to give us the victory. Listen to what he says. In God, I will praise his word. Now, what word is he talking about? He's talking about the word that God has given to him. Now, my brothers and sisters, you got to know this. If God gives you a word, the devil is going to try and take it from you. If God gives you a word, it's because God has already designed and destined to do something by his own predetermined counsel, by his own sovereign power. You don't have to do it. All you have to do is believe he's going to do it. Your job is to believe what God said, and God's job is to do what he said. And see, when we hold God to his promise, when we go hold God to his word, when we say, God, you said to me, you made a promise to me, you said in your word you would do thus and so, God is then challenged to back up his own word. That's why when we pray, we ought to pray according to the word of God. That's why when we sing, we ought to sing according to the word of God. That's why when we talk about God's goodness, his greatness, and his grandeur, it ought to be according to his word. Because that is what God is moved by. Do you think you, in your short time frame here on planet Earth, talking to the eternal Father, the one who is the creator of all eternity, do you think there's anything you can say to him from you emanating out of your own spirit, your own mind, your own intellect that can impress God? He didn't hurt at all. From more intelligent and enlightened minds than yours. So ain't nothing you can say of you that's going to impress him. The only thing you can say to him that's going to impress him is what he already said. Some of y'all going to catch that on the way going home.
What impresses God is His own word. And when you catch a hold of His word and you believe it in your spirit and you begin to say it back to God, God has heard this word, and when you're long gone, this word is still going to remain, because the Bible says it is settled in heaven forever. And nothing sounds sweeter than God's own words. So look at what He says. In God, I will praise His word. Listen, in God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now, let me ask you the question. Be it past, present, or future, have you ever been afraid of man? And anybody holler, no, I ain't never been afraid. You're lying, and just keep on living. God will show you somebody you're going to be afraid of. That's only natural. You can't be so spiritual that you make null and void the reality that you live in a world where flesh and blood and power and natural things do exist, and they do have more power than you. And listen at this. You've got to understand, if you're going to be real with God, God can't help you unless you're real. If you want God to do something, if you want God to step in, if you want God to work it out, you're going to have to admit where you are if you want God to come in your situation and take you to where you want to be or where God promised you you would be. So listen to what He says. If we just walk through here just from verses 5 on, He says, every day. Somebody say every day. Now, it's, you know, we done been in some stuff every now and then or every now and again. But imagine David now. David say, every day, listen, they rest with my words. All their thoughts are against me for what? They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Do you see some folk here scheming, plotting, and planning here trying to get David? David ain't no fool now. David said, if I see it, I know you see it, God. And they all gather together against his soul. Listen at this now. He says, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, oh God. Now, why is David saying this? I've said this before. David has prayed some hard prayers. But I got news for you now. David is talking about the enemy. He's not talking about brothers and sisters of the faith. He's talking about enemies. And that reaches a point where you need to know that your enemy needs to be where he needs to be, and that's underneath your feet, under subjection and under authority over that which God has given you. You can't play with. So many times God commanded that the Israelites, when they were in the army and in battle, to kill all of their enemies. Why? Don't let them live. Why? Because that same spirit, if you let it live, will come back up again and do the same thing. It's the story about a man, same principle, who saw a snake one day, and it was very cold, and the snake was frozen, all coiled up. He picked up the snake and put it in his bosom. He was a nature lover of animals, pets, and snakes. And when his bosom had warmed up the snake started moving on the inside and then reached there and bit him. He pulled the snake out, looked at the snake, and asked the snake, why did you bite me? The snake says, it's just in my nature. Somebody ought to hear me here. The nature of snakes don't change. You've just got to put them in cages or put them in some place where you can watch them. If y'all get quiet on me, I'm going to think you got snake mentality. Listen at this now. Listen. Shall they escape by iniquity, by vainness, foolishness, or nothingness? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Now look at what he talks about, because now he turns his attention back to God, and he has a little talk with God after he's told God what to do with the enemies. He says, thou tellest my wanderings. Listen at this. The word tellest here means to write or record. In other words, everywhere I go, Lord, you're writing it down. You got a record of my every trip and my every journey and my every step. You got a record of it. So look at what he goes on to say. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Brother John Anderson and several of us who traveled over to Israel, we got an opportunity to see over in the Holy Land that there was a church, and on the top of the church were the designs of tear-shaped bottles. And over in the Eastern country, tear bottles were used in several ways. When people mourned and they were distressed and they were persecuted and they were problematic from the pressures of life and peoples and enemies, they would cry and they would take a little bottle and they would put it underneath their eyelids. And the tears would flow from the bottle, from the eyelids on and into the bottle, and they would hold the tears in the bottle. And it was said that usually, and there were several different manners of which of how they operated, they would take these bottles when they died, and people would take them and then put them as a sacrifice in the tomb with them. And inside the bottle is suggested that, as the record reads, that just as God has recorded every tear and knows why everybody has cried, the tear is the physical evidence in the bottle that what God has recorded in heaven, man has captured in the bottle, and it's placed there. Another theory is when somebody great dies and all folk who mourn that person, and usually mourning went on for days, they would fill up tear-shaped bottles and then seal them up and put them again in the tombs of the great people, showing the great love for them that they have mourned this great person who has died or has been befallen by some evil or some great thing that has overtaken them. But the tears in the bottle always meant that there was a record kept. One writer said that every child of God that's been persecuted and had to cry, God has a divine bottle up in heaven that supernaturally catches their tears, records them, and he's got them stored away in his hidden treasures, so that the day that will come when they reach up into heaven and stand in his presence, he will take the bottle of the tears that they have cried and the tears that they will no longer cry no more, and he will use that to wipe away all their tears, symbolizing that what has been will no longer be. The ancient philosophers, the ancient people of time understood how important and what tears meant. Another theory was that when a person had gone through much suffering and cried for deliverance, for healing, and for restoration, it is said that when they've gone to all of the doctors and doctors could do them no more good, that they would take just one drop of the tear that had fallen from their eyes and placed on their tongue, and God would hear their prayer and heal their bodies, restore their lives. I don't know about any of that other than the fact that I know that whenever you shed a tear as a child of God, it never goes unnoticed. That's the record. That's the record. Look at what he says. Are they not in thy book? My wanderings, my steps, my travel, my trips, and my tears are both recorded in God's book. There have been times I've gone to different places and the Lord has spoken to my heart. I've gone to revivals, done them at multiple times or different times, come back. And I've forgotten some of the things that I preached there. But I say to myself every now and then, Lord, if I could just look in your book and see what I preached there on last year, year before last, I'd be all right, because I know you got it recorded. It's so good to know that no matter what you do, what you say, on what day it is, God has got it. And what you need to know is, my brothers and sisters, if you don't get it right before God, God's going to replay it all to you one day. How many times have you heard folk who were not right with God, God gave them another chance, and they said it was as if my life flashed before me? And all of the things that were not right, God in an instant brought them back to you. That's why the preacher sung the song, you ought to take the time out and praise the Lord. Praise him while you yet have a voice to praise him. You don't know if you'll have your voice tomorrow. You don't know if you'll have your limbs or the activity of your limbs, as the old saints say. While you have it in, breath in your body to praise him today, it ought to be done today, because he's worthy. Now listen at this now. In spite of what you're going through, you ought to learn how to praise him. Too many of us are part-time praisers. We praise him only when things are going good. We praise him when things are going our way. We are fickle praisers. We praise him when he lets us have our own way or when he answers our prayers. But God is not looking for part-time and fickle praisers. He wants us to praise him when it's good, when it's bad, and when it's indifferent. Listen at this. I want you to see it in the word. Listen, listen. When I cry unto thee, I already know that you're writing it down and you're already making a record of it, but something else happens. Then shall mine enemies turn back. Listen at this. When I cry, you know, my grandmother likes to brag on the relationship that she has with the Lord. And it's been many years ago, but the first time I heard her make this statement, it floored me. She said somebody had done her something, and she was talking to her first grandchild, and I every now and then get the privilege of hearing all of her complaints. And she said, yeah, baby, but one thing I can tell you, when Mary D. O'Neill is mad with you, the Lord don't want to have nothing to do with you. I said, Mom, you really packing some power, baby. If you get mad with a person, the Lord don't want to have nothing to do with him. And then I started adopting that same saying myself. Look at what he says. When I cry unto thee, I got to tell her this is scripture. Then shall my enemies, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. Or another rendering of that is, their plots and their plans will not be successful. When I cry out to God, God turns the situation around. Now look at what he says, and this is confidence in God. He says, this I know. Because this ain't the first time I done cried to the Lord. And it won't be the last time I cry to the Lord. But every time I cry to the Lord, he turns this thing around. Somebody ought to hear me here today. See, the reason why the Lord ain't turning your situation around is you acting all bigoted, like you're doing it, like you have the power, like you've got the authority. When you get down on your knees and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee, no other help I know, if thou withdraw thyself, oh, weather. When those tears come streaming down and you're talking to God and not talking about man, when you're talking to God and not on the phone telling other folk, but when you talk to God, God can turn this thing. Have you ever tried him? Oh, bless his holy name. Listen, listen, listen. He says, I ain't telling you what somebody told me. I ain't telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I... No! Listen, why do you know that, David? For God. Now I want you to see something here. Notice he didn't say, and God is for me or with me. He says, God is for me. Now here's what you got to know. God can be with you and still not be for you. Y'all gonna catch this sooner or later. His word says he's with his people. But when his people err or when they go outside of his will, he's not forsaken them. He can't do that. He's still with them, but he just don't do nothing for them. But look at here what Paul said. If God be for you. Notice he didn't say if God be with you. Are y'all hearing me here? I'm trying to help you to understand. Well, how does God be for you? God will be for you when you are for God. Now that was so deep, it was so shallow that you didn't even catch it. I said, God will be for you when you are for, when it's not your will, but his will. When it's not your way, but his, when it's not your word, but his word. God can't help but be for you even if he's with you. And so the enemy then, listen, is not fighting against you, but he's fighting against your God. If God be for you, Paul says, who can be against you? Look at what David says. In God will I praise his word. Why am I going to praise his word? Because he says what he means and he means what he says. Why am I going to praise his word? Because his word is the only solid foundation on which I can stand. Why am I going to praise his word? Because his word is a testament and his word is that precedes him. And so when he says,